thousands that are being saved there constantly. And the Philippines is very similar to what's going on in Mexico. God just opened up the floodgates of blessing there. A lot of people being saved. So, Brother Ambrosio, you come on up and just let us have an update on what's going on there.
Good evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And it's good to be back and good to see you again, if you can still remember me. As I said, the first time I came here was in 93 with my wife. But my wife, after we went back in 2003 when we went back, the second time we came, she was diagnosed with liver cancer. She suffered almost 8 years. She was on and off in the hospital. And until in April of 2015, the Lord took her home in heaven. It's so sad, and because I really miss my wife. He became so, you know, like a mother to our people. And but my consolation is one day I will meet her again in heaven. Amen. Amen. There's no eternal in this place, in this world. Amen. All of this world are just temporal. But when we get there in heaven, it's eternal. So, I'm Manuel Ambrosio. Good to see you again, Brother Chris. And although I missed the pastor in 2016, you know you had a good pastor. Amen? A very humble, kind, and very accommodating. You must thank and appreciate your pastor. Your pastor is a gift from God in this church. Amen. Amen? Like in Jeremiah 3:15, the Bible says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So you need to encourage your pastor, be an encouragement to him, love your pastor, appreciate him, and be thankful. Amen? Amen? Sometimes being a pastor, you know, it's really hard when our members will have big problems, difficulties, sicknesses. The first person that they want to see or to talk is their pastor. Amen. Right? Even in my church, sometimes in the middle of the night, I will receive a call from one of our members that have big problems or difficulties. But sometimes, I'm just, you know, thinking about it. How about when you receive blessings? Right? Blessings that are not expected. Is the first person you want to see or to talk is your pastor. Amen? And I'm in a church planting ministry, and I got saved in 1973. But before that, I was involved in satanic worship. Since young boy, I was really trained how to worship and serve the devil. My dad was the founder of that satanic worship in the Philippines. Spiritism. They consult evil spirit. My mom was their official medium. My dad became so well-known because they can perform miracles, they can heal, they can prophesy. He healed a lot of people. But my dad doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed in his good works. He believed that hell and heaven are in this world. If you are rich, you have everything, then you are already in heaven. But if you are poor, you got a lot of problems and difficulties, then you are already in hell. So I was really trained to worship the devil in consulting evil spirit. But I really thank the Lord that a man who was worshiping and serving the devil like me can be saved and be washed by the blood of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was on my college here, I moved to Manila City together with my older sister. She married a Christian. They always talk to me about Christianity, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and where shall I spend my eternity? But I hated them so much. Because during that time, I don't want to hear any other kind of teachings or doctrines. I do believe that my dad is the right man of God. I do believe that my religion is the right religion. So I was blinded during that time. They even set a Bible study in their house. They asked their pastor to have a Bible study every 2 o'clock in the afternoon, just for me to listen. But every time I see that pastor coming, I will make an excuse. I never attend a single Bible study. So my older sisters changed their strategy. When I finished my fourth year mechanical engineering during that summer, she did ask me, "Brother, do you want to see Baguio City?" Then I said, "Of course." And then, "You can stay there for 5 days. I will give you money. You have probably about 300 young people. You will enjoy." So I didn't know that that's a summer camp. So when I stepped on the bus, we were 3 buses during the time in that place. Then I heard that those people, especially young people, are singing godly songs, sharing their memory verses. Then I said to myself, "Oh, I'm in out of place. I don't want to be company with these people. So I really want to step out the bus and don't join that camp." But the conductor closed the door and said, "No one is allowed to get out the bus because we are about to move." So when we get there in Baguio City, I said, I will not listen to you. I will just roam around the city and see the beautiful places." But the camp director gave those rules and regulations. No one is allowed to leave the campus when there is a session. No one is allowed to stay in their cabins if there is a session. If somebody caught you that you are not attending a session, you will clean all the restrooms all day long. So there is no running water in that in Baguio City during that time in 1973. So I said, "Okay, I will just sit on the few and then I will not listen to you. I will just close my eyes and close my ears." But during the third night of that camp meeting, the Lord spoke to me concerning my eternity. So I began to realize that my father cannot save me, my good works cannot save me, my religion cannot save me. Before the camp is over, I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior and Lord of my life. But He did not only save me, He called me in His ministry. When I came back to Manila, supposed to be I will finish my engineering course, because engineering course in the Philippines is 5-year course. So it's supposed to be I will finish my engineering course. But the Lord impressed in my heart that He needs me to serve Him. So I decided to quit on my engineering course and enroll in the Bible College in Manila. When my father knew about it, he got mad at me and he sent me home. My dad did everything to stop me going to the Bible College. He said to me, "Son, listen to me and listen good. I want you to finish that course. Forget that Christ. Christ has nothing to do with you. Don't believe to those Baptist preachers. They are trying to brainwash you. What will happen to you to become a Baptist preacher?" And then he laughed. "Son, I know a lot of Baptist preachers. Since I was a young boy until now, they are still poor. Even the needs of their family, they cannot supply. And you cannot see any Baptist group in our country that have buildings. And yet, they are claiming that they are serving the living God. Don't listen to them. Let me alone to serve our God. I want you to finish that course. Son, if you can finish that course this year, you may find job abroad. You may become a multimillionaire someday. So son, forget that Christ. I want you to finish that course." When I kept on explaining to my dad and reasoning to my dad, then my dad began to beat me. He beat me so hard and he choked my neck until I reached the time when my father said to me, "Okay, you can choose whom you will obey, whom you will follow, me as your dad who loves you so much, or your Christ." During that time, I was hesitated for a couple of minutes to speak. I don't know what to do. Until I quote in Matthew chapter 10, verse 36 and 37, the Bible says, "And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father nor mother more than me is not worthy of me." So I stood up and said to my dad, "Dad, I really love you. I thank God for giving me a dad like you. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your love. But dad, I'm very sorry. The Lord Jesus found me and He saved me and He wants me to serve Him. I'm very sorry, dad. I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Then my dad pushed me so hard and he kicked me so hard and said, get out. From now on, you cannot come back in this house. I will not support you even single penny. Then I quote in Job chapter 1, verse 21. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I left my dad and went to the Bible college. For more than 2 years, I have no communication with my family. They didn't even want to hear news from me while I was in the Bible college. Till when I get married, they didn't even support and attend my wedding because of Christ. But beloved in the Lord, I will never regret in my decision to follow the Lord. Amen. Because even my dad who persecuted me so much, he got saved in 1996. So we are all now saved in our family. And by the grace of God, we have now more than 30 missionaries in the whole family. I have 4 sons. They are all pastors. 3 graduated Marietta Bible College and went back to the Philippines and do help me in planting churches. So, beloved in the Lord, our country, you know, we don't know until when the gospel is open. Especially communist countries are trying to invade our country. And the Philippines has almost 120 million people population with 7,100 island, and 86% are Roman Catholic. But our people are very receptive to the gospel. I can handle Bible studies in public places, in military camps, in public schools, and I do have children's ministry, feeding ministry. Every Friday, we feed almost 60 to 80 children. And the good thing is, when the parents learn that we are going to feed their children, even parents are coming. Then I will have the opportunity to gather all the parents beside the corner of the streets and doing Bible study before we going to feed them. And majority are responding to the gospel. We have now 27 churches planted in the province of Bulacan. Bulacan has 24 towns and cities. And in 1990, when I moved there, I didn't know any single person then. But by the grace of God, now we have now 27 churches. But last November, I moved to a bigger city, the largest city in Bulacan, doing mission work. I led couples already, about 3 couples and young people, they are ready to start a worship service. But sad to say, we cannot find a place to use for worship. The rentals are so high, and yet we are trying to find, for more than 2 months, trying to find a place, but we cannot find one. So, and the Lord gave me the opportunity to travel here again in your country. I just got here in February, and trying to raise funds so that when I come back to the Philippines, we can buy a small piece of land and build a church building. Even just, I'm not looking for a fancy or a big building. Just have enough to put our people. Amen. You know, the problem here in America, I've been in many churches. I can see big and huge church building. But the problem is, sometimes they don't have people. But in our country, our problem is a place to put our people. I hope you may consider these great needs. Beloved in the Lord, as I said, if you can just invest in the ministry, you are investing in eternity. Any amount that you are going to give, I assure you, because I believe in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, every one of us will give an account of himself to God. We will give an account. But I assure you, if you are going to help me even a little amount in this project, I assure you, when the trumpet of the Lord will sound, when we get to heaven, there will be many brown-skinned Filipinos who will come to you and say, thank you so much for caring our souls. Thank you so much in helping our missionaries. We are the product of your labor. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you, preacher.
I'm going to have you take your Bibles tonight. I'm going to have you go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Appreciate Brother Ambrosio coming. And it's interesting about what he said about his father and his mother being involved in witchcraft. And it's not exactly where I'm going, but pretty close to it tonight. Right before I do that, Nick, would you mind if I shared with folks what you told me? Victoria's mom walked an aisle last Sunday at Lumberport Baptist and either got saved or got reassurance of her salvation. And now I think this coming Sunday she's going to get baptized on the 16th. And then Victoria's sister also. That's huge. That really is. And that was really good news. Tremendous to hear. So praise the Lord for that. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and we'll get right into the scripture tonight. Father, I thank you for what we just heard. I do thank you for the good things that are happening throughout the Philippines. The many reports over the years I've heard of great work being done. Lord, I thank you that there are fields like the Philippines that are very fruitful. And I thank you there are men like Brother Ambrosio who are willing to minister and reach their people for you. And Lord, it just gives me a greater appreciation as well for others who labor in fields that are seemingly not as fruitful and yet they remain by the stuff. So Lord, whether it's a fruitful field like the Philippines or a field where few are saved, like Spain or like the Sauti region of Canada, wherever it may be, that you would just continue to keep these people faithful and let us be reminded as we see the decline of our country and seemingly fewer people interested in the gospel of Christ, what you require is that a steward be found faithful. Faithful. Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, use these moments we have together in your word, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many have ever heard the phrase, the spirit of the age? How many have ever heard that terminology? Okay. There's actually a definition for that phrase. It's found in Collins' Dictionary, and this is the definition. The spirit of the age, or the spirit of the times, is the set of ideas, beliefs, and aims that is typical of people in a particular period in history. The spirit of the age. Now, maybe the Lord had this arranged because Brother Ambrosio was actually supposed to be with us about 4 weeks ago. So I didn't even know he was going to be here tonight. So praise the Lord. Maybe the Lord planned this for you to give your testimony because what we see in the spirit world is extremely real. And you lived it. You saw that firsthand. The spirit of the age. The Bible speaks about ages, if you will. Of course, you have a natural division of the age of the Old Testament and the age or the time of the New Testament. That's natural divisions that we see. But you can subdivide that and look at different periods of time, different ages. You have the Adamic covenant or age, you have the Noahic covenant or age, you have the Abrahamic covenant or age, the Davidic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, of course the covenant that we're under now, the new covenant, the future millennial age where there'll be a 1,000-year reign of Christ. All of these are in a sense ages. So when you study God's word, you come into understanding. There are different things that God did in certain periods of time, such as with Noah. He gave him a covenant, and he said, I will never again destroy the world by flood. and he put a rainbow in the sky, and it's so disgusting to see something so good and holy as a rainbow and see it desecrated by our culture. It just makes me sick. You have the Mosaic covenant where God gave us the law. You have the Davidic covenant where God said, your seed will rule forever. I'm going to set up a king and his kingdom will never end. So you have all of these ages that are expressed either by name in the Bible or, if you will, there is obvious distinction there. Somebody put it this way. There was the age of conscience. And by that, and I'm going somewhere with this, so if you feel like I have no idea where he's going tonight, well, in about 5 weeks you'll understand where I'm going. This is all kind of prelude to where I'm going eventually. You got the age of conscience that lasted for a long period of time, where basically men were governed by their conscience. The law of Moses wasn't anywhere near. Of course, what we celebrate this week, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, was nowhere near. The old covenant, the new covenant, weren't even things yet. In fact, I just want to go to Romans chapter 2 for a moment. Romans chapter 2. I told you Ephesians, we'll get there in a moment. But look back at Romans chapter 2, and I just want you to notice something in verse 14. For when the Gentiles which have, verse 14 of chapter 2, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Now listen, their conscience also bearing witness and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. There was an attitude, even though they didn't have the law, the written law. In fact, we know this around the world today, talking about missions last week with our missions conference, and Brother Ambrosio here tonight. There are people groups who have never heard of Jesus Christ. Quite bluntly, they've never heard of Moses either. And yet they have the conscience. And God says, I've written it in their hearts. You don't have to necessarily have those stone tablets with the Ten Commandments on it to know you shouldn't kill somebody. You don't have to have those there in order for you to understand you shouldn't take what doesn't belong to you. I mean, these things are written in people's hearts, at least from the beginning. Now, as a society, and we're in decline, the second law of thermodynamics tells us that everything declines, and that includes humanity. There was a time where God dealt through the conscience, and still does in many ways. There was the age of conscience for many years, and then there was the age of government, where God began to establish governments, and people were ruled by governments. And then you have the age of the law, where God brought the law, not just the Ten Commandments, but the Mosaic law, to help establish things. And even nations like ours that are not Jewish still follow a Judeo-Christian ethic. You know, you follow that in order to get direction and calm and peace in a culture and in a nation. Now we're in the age of the church. The age of the church, where we're governed not so much by conscience or law, we're governed by the Holy Spirit, which is above the law, and certainly above our conscience. And then eventually there'll be the age of the millennial reign of Christ. That 1,000-year reign, when we will be governed not by governments, not by the law, not even by the Holy Spirit. We will be governed by Jesus Christ himself. So all of these ages, you say, again, that's great, Pastor. I don't really know where you're going with this. I don't know the purpose of what you're talking about. Well, again, we'll get there. Now I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to notice some things here. This was kind of spurred by a conversation I had yesterday. Now, yesterday was a men's prayer meeting, and I purposely did not attend since Debbie's had COVID. I've just kept myself away from people through yesterday. But after the prayer meeting over, I came over to the building. Chris was here, and we just kind of talked at a distance. And he was sharing some things with me that were very similar to what Brother Ambrosio just said about his experience as a child. We brought into that conversation what happened this week down in Nashville. That somebody can just walk into a Christian institution and take six people's lives. It's just mind-boggling. It's not something new. It happened at an AME church in South Carolina several years ago. It happened at a Baptist church where many were slaughtered in Texas. And this isn't something new. I'm no Jehovah Witness, but a Kingdom Hall in Germany just a few months back had a number of people killed. It's not anything new. What possesses, and that's the key word, what possesses people to do such terrible things? Because it doesn't make sense, does it? And yet it's happening. In Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to notice the wording very carefully. Now, if you're like me, if you read your Bible consistently, there's a lot of times I read something. It's not like I don't necessarily understand it, but I don't let it make an impact. But I want this to try to make an impact on your minds tonight. In verse 1, he says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." And you know what the word quickened means? I ask you all the time, what does that mean? And you always say, make alive. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." There's a phrase in there that I want you to catch. He uses the terminology, the course of this world. If you were to go to the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and look at the definition of the word course, this is what you would read. The word course means properly in age, by extension perpetuity, by implication the world. In other words, the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age. He said, it used to be you Christians here at Ephesus, you used to walk according to the spirit of the age, and there was debauchery and wickedness and vileness throughout the Roman Empire and into the cultures around them. Pagan worship, false gods, all those things going on. Those who went out as missionaries, like the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy and others, they had a lot to overcome to bring people to Christ. And sometimes you even see it after people got saved, they still had this system in them. You look at the church at Corinth, they had a lot of things that God had to root out of their life over the course of time. He said to the Ephesians, this is the way you used to be. You used to be dead in these trespasses and sins. You used to walk according to the spirit of the age, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, who is the prince of the power of the air?
Satan.
And he's referred to in the last part of the verse as the spirit. Now, remember what Jesus said. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, I just want you to tell you something. He said, my Father doesn't have a body. Jesus does. The Father doesn't. He's a spirit. And we're told here that Satan is also a spirit. And just as real as the Holy Spirit is, and as God the Father is, so is Satan. Now, there are people, and I fear sometimes even people who call themselves Christians, that don't believe in a literal devil. He is as real as God is real, as the Holy Spirit is real, as the Lord Jesus is real. And he is our enemy. You notice it says, this spirit, the spirit of Satan, the prince of the power of the air, worketh now in the children of disobedience. Well, that's not a term of endearment. In verse 3, he says, they are children of wrath. See, that's what a person is before they get saved. Before Brother Ambrosio got saved back in the 70s, I got saved in the 70s as well. Before I got saved, he got saved. Before you got saved, you were a child of disobedience. You were a child of wrath. You were under the curse. So Jesus comes along. He becomes the curse so that you don't have to be under the curse anymore. He took your sin so you don't have to be under the debt and penalty of sin. So here he says, this is what you used to be, and the spirit of the age was controlled by this prince of the power of the air, who is a spirit, Satan, and he has worked to deceive people through the course of all time. Okay? Now, I don't think I've said anything to anyone in this auditorium that you probably don't already know. But I want you to note the influence, and if you will, the control of the spirit. And I'm not talking about the spirit of God. I'm talking about Satan, the prince of the power of the air. And I want you to consider for a minute what has happened in our country. I don't know if this is happening in the Philippines. I don't know about other lands. But I want you to think about what has happened in our country over the past 70 years. From the 1960s to the 2020s, what has happened over the course of these last 70 years. God has more and more been removed from our culture, from the fabric of our culture, and more been removed from the conscience of our nation. We have said to God, we don't want you in our public schools. We don't want you in our universities. We don't want you in the courthouse. We don't want you in our halls of government. We want you out. And you know what? We've done a really good job of that. We've done a really good job of that. In the 60s, we removed what was it? It was first Bible reading or prayer that we removed. I can't remember. But, you know, we removed prayer. And then we removed Bible reading. And then in 73, we promoted murder. And so we've murdered 60 plus million since then. And justify it. We sanitize it. We've told God we don't want you in our politics. One of the greatest misnomers is this attitude of the separation of church and state. Oh, you know, Thomas Jefferson advocated the separation of church and state. Thomas Jefferson did nothing of the sort. He wrote to a Baptist congregation of all people, and he did not say the church and state should be separate. He was trying to explain that the state should have no control over the church. There should be no state churches. Germany has a state church. It's called the Lutheran Church. Italy basically has a state church. It's called the Catholic Church. England has a state church. It's called the Anglican Church. And there were periods of time, not so much now, that if you came against the state church, you could lose your life and be imprisoned for it. How many of you have ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Okay, you know what happened to him? He got in trouble with the state church. That's why they imprisoned him. So the whole goal was no state church. That's what separation of church and state is really all about. The church is supposed to influence our government. That's what the church is supposed to do. But Satan has helped turn that around. And now the government says, no, 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 no. You can't set up a manger scene in the town square. No, no. You can't hang a picture of Jesus in Bridgeport High School anymore. No, no. You can't do that. Good night. We even got kicked out of having a Bible club in the middle school here. I'm saying to you, we've come a long ways in 70 years. So is it any wonder that someone can take, you know, an assault rifle and walk into Covenant Presbyterian Church in the school and gun down six people? No, not really. I pray for Sharon. I pray for Tanya. I pray for Janet. I pray for Stephen Shearer. I pray for Nick George, Carrie Davis, and some others who are in public education. And the reason the last few years I've really begun to focus on them is for this reason. They are in a dangerous place. And I'm sincere. When I pray for them, I ask God, help them to teach well. Help whatever subject they're teaching, whether it's aviation mechanics or whatever Dr. Shearer teaches. And that guy is way up here compared to me. And he's a brilliant man. Whatever he teaches there at these different, he's involved, I think, with five or six universities right now. Whatever he teaches and whatever these ladies teach in the public schools, I just ask God to let them teach them well. Let them be good teachers. And then God opens some door for them to be able to witness. So Brother Nick has had opportunity to have Bible study for students. And Brother Shear has had opportunity to have Bible study for administration at Salem. I think that's great. Now I just say, God, give Jana a chance to witness to a student somehow. I know it's not supposed to happen because of the separation, but Lord, you just opened the door. When Corey was in China, obviously in a communist country, you're not allowed to do that. But if a student, when they would, one of the courses that Corey taught was American history in communist China. And so, they talk about holidays and they talk about Christmas or something like that. Or why do you do that? And so it would open a door for him to get the gospel in. Kind of neat. And so that's what I hope will happen with these. But another thing is, God, keep these people safe. Because we got a lot of crazy people that will walk into a school, public or Christian, walk into a church and just gun people down. What's causing that? Well, when you take away the influence of the Spirit of God and the influence of the Spirit of God's words, this is what you can expect. Somebody once said, where was God on 9/11? I don't know. Where did you send him? Because you told him he can't be part of our country anymore. Now listen, we got a remnant. We're part of the remnant. There is still a remnant in this country that is keeping some sanity in this place. But that's not going to last forever. There's coming a day when that is not going to be. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now this is all just kind of introductory, if you will, tonight, but I think this is an important passage here before we end for the evening. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to begin to read in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now remember what Jesus said when he came. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, it's here. If you want it, we're making it available. And here he's saying, you are being told that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's basically here. And Paul is about to tell them, not yet. That day of Christ has not yet come, so don't let... Because they were thinking, uh-oh, he came and he took his people home and we've been left here. Oh no, what happened? And they're panicking. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. And then he gives the reasons. Except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You can read in Revelation chapter 13, different places in the book of Daniel about the man of sin. Also, we would refer to him as the Antichrist. He is, some people see him paralleled in Revelation 13 to the false prophet. The dragon is always Satan. He's called that old dragon Satan in Revelation 20, I think it is. But the false prophet and the beast, Antichrist, they're opposed to everything that is godly, opposed to everything that is Christ, opposed to everything that is God. And he talks about this, he calls him the man of sin. And he said he hasn't been revealed yet, so that hasn't happened yet. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And again, there's explanation of that in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation about this very event happening. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So Paul had verbalized these things, preaching or teaching them. Now he's writing them so they don't forget. You know what happens? I forget. People walk up to me and say, hey, would you do this? Sure. And if I don't do what? Write it down. I have a tendency to forget. I don't mean to forget. I don't mean not to do something, but I've done that. And the older I get, the more I do it. So I need, was it Prevagen? You know, to clear my mind and make me focus. So if anybody wants to buy me some, I'll take it. Anyway, verse 6. Here's where I was going with this. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. What is withholding the Antichrist from showing up on the scene? That's what he's saying here. What's withholding him? Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. I mean, listen, we've got iniquity. When did homosexuality become a thing? Back in Genesis. When did murder become popular? The very first family. When did these things begin to happen? Transgender. Men dressing like women and women dressing like... Do you remember what... And you know what? We independent Baptists got really ripped for this. Oh, you always go back to the Old Testament passage about a man's not to wear women's clothing and a woman's not supposed to wear men's clothing. Now that verse is awfully important, isn't it? Several weeks ago, after we have our pastor's prayer meeting on Friday morning, I run errands, and I was at Walmart picking up some water and some stuff for the church, and I push in my cart back from the back of the store up toward the counter, and in the distance I see this couple walking toward me. It was a guy, you know, an older man my age. He wears a ball cap and a jacket, just look normal, and there is a lady beside him. I just figure it's a man and his wife. Now this is going to sound terrible, but the closer I got, I thought to myself, that's one of the most homely women I've ever seen in my life. I just, you know, she properly dressed, a nice long skirt, but she is just a homely person. And so we cross paths, and I hear the lady say, "Hey, what are we gonna do?" You know, it's like, oh, that's not really a woman. He doesn't even make a good-looking man, much less a good-looking woman. I was like, that's typical. It's becoming more typical in our culture. And I'm honestly not trying to be mean, but that still shocks me when I see that. And it should. It should. It should be repulsive to us. You know what? If I had a chance to witness that person, I would have taken it. I'd have been loving and giving them the gospel. And I would have invited them to Grace Baptist Church. But it's still repulsive because it goes against what God has said. You begin to take the Word of God out and the presence of the Holy Spirit out, and things like that are no longer withheld. So our country made a decision. We're going to start removing God out of our conscience and out of our culture. What else would we expect as a nation? What else should we expect? Again, verse 7. The mystery of iniquity already doth work. There's always been homosexuality, always been cross-dressing, always been this attitude of accepting child sacrifice. In fact, even the people who are involved in that industry are now beginning to refer to it in those terms, like child sacrifice. Isn't that interesting? Where you begin to see the true motives of people coming out. The mystery of iniquity has always been around. But there are times where God moves, like in the Philippines or other nations, and that spirit is dampened. It's not gone, it's still there. It's always been around, but it's dampened. But when you decide you're going to begin to remove God out of a culture and out of the conscience of a people, you've got trouble. Big time trouble. So he says at the end of verse 7, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So what does that mean? The word let means withhold, like it says in the verse previous, or to restrain. He said the reason the Antichrist has not shown up on the scene yet, the reason there isn't total chaos yet, is there something here that is restraining evil. is restraining the spirit of the age, is restraining the prince of the power of the air from bringing on his henchmen called the Antichrist. Who could that be? Exactly. The Holy Spirit. So when we began as a culture to say, well, we're going to remove God, okay, and what if we told, basically, and I went to public school, and I carried my Bible to a public school, and, you know, witnessed in a public school, helped start a Bible club in a public school, big old school, by the way. I did those things, but I was also shut down. You can't talk about that in this classroom. You can't do that kind of stuff. That was back in the 70s. You can't do those kind of things now. Limited. You can have after-school clubs, but the presence of God, discussion in the classroom, that kind of thing is very, very limited now. So we basically said, we're going to take God out of these things. Well, where the Holy Spirit is removed, what spirit can begin to dominate? Yeah, absolutely. That's what we are beginning to see in our culture now. We are beginning to see the removing of the Holy Spirit, the influence that he has had, his ability to restrain evil, not totally eliminate it, but to restrain it. And then you have an event that's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And you know it. Then we which are alive and remain shall what? Be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now who's that referring to?
Church.
The church. Who does the Holy Spirit possess? He possesses the vessels of the church. You are the church, not these walls. You are the church. I am the church. And the Holy Spirit possesses this human vessel. And when the rapture, the coming of Christ occurs, and the believers are taken out, then what's going to restrain the prince of the power of the air? Absolutely nothing. Things are getting dicey in our culture. Why? Because we've repressed the book of the Holy Spirit called the Bible. We've repressed the vessels of the Holy Spirit called the saints. We are doing everything we can to shut them down, so more and more demonic influence is coming in. Don't think for a second that young woman who went into that school was not demon possessed. I was taught this in Bible college. The closer we get to the end of an age, or the beginning of another age, you always see more and more angelic and demonic activity occur. I wouldn't be surprised. Now, I'm kind of fishing with this a little bit, but I wouldn't be surprised all these sightings with UFOs has a spiritual side to it. I personally believe that. I can't prove that. I haven't spoken to any Martians lately, you know, so I can't say that for sure. But I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of this is just demonic and angelic. And the closer we get to the end, brothers, the more you're going to see. And the more we say as a culture, we've had our fill of God, we don't want this anymore. What happened the other day at Covenant Presbyterian is going to become more and more of a norm. Now here's the good news. I'll just end with this tonight. I'm going to skip over a little bit because it's going to get late. I'll just remind you about this. In 1 John 4:4, 1 John chapter 4, he's talking about spirits, about discerning the spirits. So we won't take time tonight. We'll go back to this later. But he says, you need to discern the spirits, because some spirits are of God, some, a lot of them aren't. He said, you need to discern. And in verse 4 of 1 John 4, he says this, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's the them? The spirits he's talking about in verses 1 through 3. because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, the prince of the power of the air. He controls the children of disobedience, the children of wrath. But you have a greater spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit. And God says, don't let these things scare you. And I'm not going to teach this to scare you, because you have no reason to be scared, because you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. You have the victory through Jesus Christ already. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But one of my purposes in this, and that conversation yesterday kind of spurred me on to this, is what Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 2:11. He said, lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So I'm just going to throw it out there. We're going to talk about spirit world. And we won't do it next Sunday night, because we're going to have communion next Sunday evening. But we're just going to get into this, and I don't know where it's going to take us, but I think it's necessary. It's necessary to talk about. Several years ago, in fact, it was weird, because on the visitation night, back where I grew up, we had hundreds of people that came out. It was a church of thousands, but we had hundreds of people that come out to go out visiting. And we had a 14-year-old's class, a 15-year-old's class, and then a senior high class, because we had 120 or 150. And this 14-year-olds and this. So you get a group of about 10, 15, 14-year-olds come out. And so they would pair us up with these teachers, and we'd go out and visit. And when we got back to the church, one of the kids pulled out a satanic Bible. He said, oh, look what I got. I got a satanic Bible. I'd never seen a satanic Bible, and everybody's going, ooh. And it was kind of a big deal. It's like, I've never seen a satanic Bible. And he said, you guys want to look at it? And I praise the Lord for this. It's like something said, I don't even look at that. I do not want you to even look at that. I don't want you to read one word of that book. I'm going to tell you something, especially to those of you who are younger. Stay away from Ouija boards. Stay away from the occult. Stay away from things like the Satanic Bible. Don't put your mind toward those things at all. Avoid them. If they're offered to you, avoid it at all cost. Just stay away from it. But we do have to be wise to what Satan is doing. So we're not going to sit here and read the Satanic Bible and do those kind of things, but we are going to look at the spirit world in the weeks to come. So I hope it'll be a help to me as much as it is to you. All right, that's where we're going to stop tonight. Well, let's go ahead. We'll just bow our heads for prayer for just a moment. And this isn't necessarily the kind of message that you ask people to come to the altar for. Maybe you heard something this morning and God just impressed something on your heart. Maybe you need to use the altar tonight. You're welcome to do that. Or, you know, we're few enough in number tonight. You can just make where you're seated an altar. And just go before him, whatever is burdening your heart. You just want to praise him. Good night. Good news tonight from the Philippines. Good news tonight from Nick's family. Just go before him. So I'm going to have Melanie play a verse. And as she's playing right now, you just go before the Lord. Maybe just a matter of saying, God, I need to be wise to what Satan is doing. You know, as a parent, to be wise to what is influencing your children through the things they see through media devices. The people they're rubbing shoulders with, that even that innocency for me years ago, hey, here's a satanic Bible, take a look at this. You know, it may be done in innocency, but we need wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. thank you for coming tonight. I appreciate it. And, you know, what I said when we went back to this regular format, I realize prices are way up. Economy's not great. So the fact that we have people coming at all on Sunday nights with gas prices and the business people live, I think about the Newsoms coming tonight. They got a long way to come. And I'm sure they're spending some pretty good pennies to, you know, fuel up their vehicles. So I appreciate you being here tonight. And just next Sunday night, we're just going to focus on the Lord's table. That's it. We're just going to focus there to close out Resurrection Sunday. So if you're able to be here, and I realize a lot of folks are out of town during that time, but that's what we'll do next week. And I'm just going to give little credit where the credit is due to all these children that are here tonight. I haven't heard one word. That's good. That's good. So thank you to all the children in the auditorium. Thank you for doing that. That's really good. And I found out that Emerson's favorite candy is M&M's, and Deacon's favorite candy is Starburst. Just so happens that M&M's is my favorite candy, too. So we got something in common. So, all right, you don't want to hear that. Anyway, you can say happy birthday to my granddaughter. It was her birthday yesterday. She is, how old are you now, Naomi? Three. Okay, now I'm embarrassing her. She doesn't care. All right, well, let's go ahead and we'll close in prayer. Nick, why don't you stand and close us in prayer tonight, please? Good night, everybody.